Hi, this is Evie.
And this is Chantel.
And this is Married to PTSD. We're doing...
All right, we're going to try this again. Okay, so this is now like the 15th time maybe that we started this. We're good. It's fine. Everybody, it's fine.
It's been a heck of a day.
It's, you know. So we have a guest today, so super exciting because we have not had a guest in a very long time. But before we get to that, I was going to tell you, Evie, well, I already told you, but you didn't hit the record button earlier, that this is our first podcast in 2023. Go us.
I didn't realize that we hadn't done it. So, but it's been a really bad 2023 so far for me. So, I mean.
We'll get into that in a second.
I'm just a little bit.
I did have a question on Facebook and I was like, hold on, let me see if I can find the question. But she basically said, like, oh, that's so cute. She basically just said, okay, do you have any suggestions for stepmoms? She's like, I haven't heard anything about that. And I was like, well, because we're not stepmoms, so right. We haven't heard about it, actually. Like, it's not just something that we've really thought about talking about because it's not our experience. But I was like, but guess what? The person that we're going to interview this week is a stepmom.
Okay.
So whenever we get into her story, she can kind of give us a little who's it a what's it a about her life. So that's exciting.
Sweet.
Okay. So everybody knows that I'm a stalker and that I'm okay with being stalked. And it's just the way that it is. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. It's just the way that life is. Got it. Okay. So, and I think that even, so Megan, on the very last podcast that we did, you may or may not, I think I talked about the story, or I mean, not like what we had said to each other, but that I was getting a new neighbor that moved in, but Danielle said I wasn't allowed to stalk said neighbor until they closed on their house. Otherwise, they'd probably be scared and not close on the house, which is very hard for me to do. And Evie, you would be so proud of me. I did so good until I knew that they signed the papers and they were physically moving in that I sent her a message.
Oh my gosh.
So I did good. Okay, so this is how I started off. I said, okay, so don't be freaked out. Danielle said I couldn't freak you out with my stalking abilities until you close on the house. I said, we live on the other loop. This is her response. Hey, I'm a psych nurse, so nothing freaks me out. And if I weren't a nurse, I'd be a private investigator. And I was like, we're already best friends. Like, I don't even know.
Oh my gosh.
What else? And then, of course, I'm like, here's my dating profile. And then I like narrowed down my life into a bubble for her.
Yes.
So that's me. And then today we actually met for the first time so we went to lunch with my other two friends, who I may be my friends, if you remember those stories of baseball and the trash company. So now I have three friends that I now have, and now they're going to be friends. And then eventually one day when you're cool enough and not having a career, you can come be friends with us too.
Why? Because you guys go out during the day?
Yeah.
Rude.
We can summer. We'll be summer friends.
I could be summer friends.
Perfect. Okay, so Megan, welcome to our very unorganized podcast and life. And we don't do commercials because basically we don't know how to do that. And I only have a Facebook page that has a community now because one of the other our wives were like, you're doing it wrong. And she created it. And so now we're on this thing, you know, just the way it is. So
I think tell awesome. Us about,
so, all right, Megan is, I, and so Evie, just so you know,
yeah,
I did tell her in the beginning, like, I don't want to know anything because I want it all to be kind of like fresh and new. So that way we're hearing it at the same time. And then so today at lunch, like we kind of just glossed over. So that way we could get to know each other a little bit. And then so pretty much everything she says is going to be new for us, or me.
For you too?
Also.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, so Megan, introduce us to yourself.
All right, so my name's Megan, and I am 33. I am married to a Army veteran named Dave, and I bring two daughters to our marriage that are 10 and 12, and he brings his six-year-old. We recently, within the last year, moved to Missouri, and we just bought a house out here, and we're just adjusting, and I'm excited to have a friend in the area because I work from home. I'm a psychiatric nurse, and I work from home, so there's not a lot of socialization when it comes to that.
I get that.
I actually do the same thing, but they call it being a mom.
Like, that's the hardest work from home job ever.
Well, I'm just saying, like, these guys are fucking crazy. So
mine too.
It's like, yeah, I can say that. Nobody cares, Evie.
I did not put on explicit language on our.
I'm putting you
platform.
Okay, Megan, continue.
All right. So Dave and I have been married since May of 2022. We met when we were both going through a divorce in 2021, and we met because, all right, this is where I gotta, like, preface, nobody can judge me, okay? I was actually his nurse, and that's how I met him. We connected after he left where I was working, and it just took off from there. Both of us were going through some pretty hostile divorces, and I knew going into it that Dave was going to be transitioning out of the Army shortly after we started talking. But what I didn't realize at the time is what exactly he was dealing with that I didn't know about. I went in with open mind because I knew that he was struggling with alcohol. I knew he had PTSD. I knew he had depression and anxiety. But what I didn't know is that he had a traumatic brain injury. And, he wasn't diagnosed with it until recently, actually. It happened in 2012 when he was in Afghanistan, and he's lived with it since then. And he's been having seizures all along and was never diagnosed with anything, never treated. He went down several times while he was still in the Army, and they contributed it to alcoholism. And that wasn't the case. He has epilepsy that was brought on by his traumatic brain injury. So we deal with, on a daily basis, the epilepsy, the traumatic brain injury, and the PTSD. So it's, at times it can be very lonely, but it is also so rewarding to be there with him and help him through it. I actually was working outside of the home until April of this year when Dave actually was working and wrecked his truck at work. And what makes his situation with his seizures even worse is that whenever he has a seizure, he appears intoxicated because of where the damage was done. It's in his frontal temporal lobe, and that causes him to slur his speech, be unable to walk, his face gets droopy, his eyes get droopy, so he legitimately looks like he's intoxicated. And that, in, you know, contributed to a lot of things for him leading out of the Army. And then we also obviously deal with the PTSD. Fortunately, he's not one that gets angry per se. He's more of a runner. And when I say he's more of a runner, when we were still living in Indiana, my ex-husband burned my house down. And it was a very stressful time. And Dave got really stressed out with that and with his divorce proceedings and everything. And ultimately, I came home from work one day and he was gone. The key was on the table. His truck was gone. His camper was gone. He turned off Life 360 so I couldn't find him. And so I channeled my inner Chantel and I just went on a hunt, and I found him. I found him at a truck stop, and I pulled up in front of his car or his truck and camper. And I sat in my car and I was like, okay, what am I going to say? And about that time, the door swings open and he looks at me and I'm like, oh my God, I've been had. So he wasn't happy I found him. And it's not the first time he ran, but that's the last time he's ran. And so thankfully, we're getting there and we're managing slowly but surely.
And then, so how is it? Okay, so with the stepmom thing, how is it with bringing your kids together?
So our case is probably pretty extreme when considering my side of the story.
I like how you added, and my husband, my ex-husband burned down my house, and then Dave just like chaunders in, and then no big deal.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is at this point.
Yeah.
And
that's how I live our lives as well.
It's just whatever at this point. But things were very rocky starting out, coming into our relationship, for me anyway. Biological mom wasn't happy I was in the picture. She proceeded to say things that were untrue in court to limit me from being around, which I wasn't trying necessarily to partake in visitations. I was trying to just be supportive of Dave and make sure he wasn't having any issues with PTSD and things like that, because that all leads to seizures in his case. Everything all wrapped together. Since we've moved out here, we've gotten on pretty good terms. And I'm actually the one that takes over most of the communication with the mom, to just kind of eliminate that additional stress for him, to remove that off of his back. I take a firm stance in, I'm not trying to replace my stepson's mom, but my goal is to be that positive role model for him when he's with us. Her and I have very real conversations, and when I have an issue, I reach out to her, and if she has an issue, she reaches out to me and we talk it out. Granted, sometimes things get hot, but it's not too bad.
So mature of you guys. I don't know if I could handle it. But I tell Josh, like, I thought we get divorced and then you met somebody really cool and then you're best friend.
Oh my gosh.
It's fine.
And you know, we kind of sprung the move on her. We were meeting at the halfway point in St. Louis for pickups, for visitation. And so we were spending close to 30 hours in a car a month. Jeez. And little man was spending double that, you know, like he was in the car so much, and it's not fair. He's only six now. So that 2021, December 26th, we had to bring him back for drop off after Christmas for a regular exchange, and we were supposed to meet in St. Louis, but we just texted mom and said, hey, we'll just meet you in Osage Beach at the Walmart. So we rolled up to Osage Beach Walmart. I was driving my car with a enclosed trailer. He was driving his truck with his camper, and she got there and she's like, what are you guys doing? And we said, we live here now. And she's like, all of you moved here? All of us moved there. So ever since then, it's been much better. Dave's seeing his son, and he's got him half the time. Things are really working out beneficially. And I think it's one of those things you kind of have to swallow your pride in some instances to make the step-parent thing work.
Sure.
Because it is hard.
That's awesome, though.
And then how, so we kind of know, like, how our husbands react to, like, certain situations, but, like, have your girls know, or like, well, I guess how, because you said that he doesn't get angry. So what kind of things does he do, or do your girls notice anything? Because it's not good,
but so the girls,
Dave, to measure up to. So since it's like you guys are so newly married.
Yes. So the girls can tell when he's getting overwhelmed, when things are getting real. They know that. They've picked up on, like, hey, when we go to a restaurant, he's got to be sitting facing the door. Like, they know he's got to have his out so he can figure out what's going on. They know that if they are too much, that that can cause issues for them. We have very, very real open talks in our house about mental health in general. So they've already known about this stuff for quite some time, even before Dave came into the picture, because of my occupation. We talk about stuff like that. But they're really good about helping, and with Dave's seizures and stuff, the girls actually, if I'm not at home, they'll stay and keep an eye on Dave and make sure he's okay as well.
And they know like the signs and stuff and what to look for.
Absolutely. And it's a constant talk about it. Answer questions. Honestly, they know that Dave has had issues with alcohol. They know what to look for that. Like, we're a very open family when it comes to stuff like that.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And so far, do you guys like living here?
Yeah, absolutely. I come from a town in southern Indiana that has like 15,000 Germans that drink beer at a giant festival every August. And I love it there. Like, back home, when you introduce yourself to somebody, you say, my name is Megan and my parents are Dan and Julie. And my grandpa used to be, or my great grandpa was a history teacher at the high school and his name was such and such. And they're like, oh my God, I know your grandpa. Like, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know everybody here.
I feel like if you were born here, though, I was not, but I feel like the people that were born here know everybody. Like, Chantel knows everybody.
Well, yeah. So when we first moved out here, we rented a house sight unseen on Bittersweet Road.
Mm. Popular road.
That was much too people-y for me. And I got really sick of it really fast.
Oh, how far down do you live, though? Like, were you like divers? Because that's
no.
Oh, okay. Because that's very different.
We were towards the very beginning, actually.
Were you right on Bittersweet?
Mm-hmm. So, a few houses down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
After the apartment complexes.
Yep.
After Evergreen, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. We looked at houses right there and I was like, no, that's like, it's right on the road and that's scary when you have kids. So that's actually how we found this house. So I was like, I need to be away.
Yes.
That's crazy. We still haven't, like, our husbands haven't met yet either.
Correct.
So that's exciting. And then Evie's husband does pretty good with meeting people. But what it's cool about Evie and I, because we know like what each other have been through and like how our husbands are, there have been times like where we would go to hang out. And then because like before with other people, it's not the same. Like, but I can just text Evie and be like, fucking Josh is on one. Like, what the hell? She'll be like, I get it. It's fine. Like,
reschedule. And
it's not. Like, it's not a big deal to cancel, you know what I mean? But like, if I'm like messaging somebody else, like legit one time we had people waiting at a restaurant for us to meet. And Josh, like, we halfway there and he's not going. And I was like, cool. But Evie had been like, okay, I get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
She was out. So she actually had
You are cutting out so bad. I apologize, audience, for Chantel's freezing of her horrible phone internet. I don't know what she's saying when she'll be back with us, but this would be a good time to have a sponsor break in to the podcast. She is literally frozen.
She is so frozen.
Okay, so what she's saying, there she is.
What is happening?
I had to apologize to everybody for you.
Did you?
Yes.
Weird. I just started saying wait on it. What was the last thing you heard me say then?
Just that you could call
people waiting at a restaurant.
Oh yeah. Somebody should pay attention.
Anyways, I was saying after that, I was saying that Evie actually taught three of my kids.
Yes.
And then rudely decided to go teach fifth grade before my fourth kid went into first grade. And then, so she taught two of my kids and we still had no idea that each other were going through life the way that we were because we weren't open about it. And then when she was teaching my third kid,
we were at a birthday party.
No, we were at a football game. You always say that.
No, we were at the birthday party.
Oh, okay. But I saw them at a football game with his service dog. And then we went to a birthday party like that next day. And I was like,
oh, hey. Yeah.
So I saw that your husband has a service dog. And then we started talking about it. And then from there, it went to, oh my gosh, I just started a podcast. You should be a part of it. And I was like, okay. And 3 years later, that's what we're doing.
Very true.
My husband also has a service dog.
Oh, he does?
Mm-hmm.
That's so
They're
cool.
not fully through training. She's super young, so she has to work on a few things, but they went through a really awesome organization, and she was actually a dog we bought at Rural King back in Indiana, and she passed an assessment to be a service animal. So they've been training, and she alerts whenever he has issues. We practice. If he goes down, she comes to get me.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Amazing.
I thought you were familiar. So your husband goes to canine on the front line, and Randy is one of the trainers. Yeah. My husband is. Yeah.
And he actually assessed Dave and Delilah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I saw your last name and then I heard, I was like, oh, there it is. There's the connection.
Yeah. I was like, oh, then with the seizures and stuff, I thought, well, it could be the same person, but I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm. So
look at Chantel.
I know. I can't even handle this right now. What the heck? Okay. So did Randy go to you guys or what? How did, like, where did he assess him at?
So we met up by the dam at some park up there. I'm still not really sure where everything is. Yeah. But we met up there, and he assessed Delilah. And we met his service dog, too.
Reggie. So,
it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I still can't even handle this. I love it. So what? So did they get each other's number? Like, did they talk or...
Yeah, I'm like 99% sure that Dave has Randy's number in his phone.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it. That's bananas. So with me, I would have been like right away, but I guess guys don't do this. I'm like, wait, what? You're a vet? Like, we should be friends. Like, you just moved here? Like, what the heck?
That's not the guy's friend. You are married to one.
I know. Well, you know what's crazy? All right, so it's such a small world. My sister called me a couple weeks ago, and she's like, oh, my gosh, so I do this girl's whatever makeup. And she lives in Omaha, Nebraska. Or not makeup, like her whatever she does. Anyways, some kind of facial stuff. And she said that she comes down to the lake. I think she lives here part-time or something.
Oh.
And my sister was like, oh, that's so crazy. Was telling her that Josh was a cop. And then the next time she had came down, she had just seen Josh, and she was like, oh, he's on a traffic stop. Because I think she like showed pictures and stuff, and he was on a traffic stop. And then she's like, I almost stopped to say hi. And my sister's like, yeah, Josh isn't that kind of guy that you should do that with.
No.
Chantel, yes, but not Josh. And then I guess, so my sister called me today, and she said that, she's like, hey, so did Josh tell you about my friend? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, get it out of your hair and clean it. And then my kid just came in with Cheese Whiz in her hair and a cracker sticking to the Cheese Whiz. So my sister was like, yeah, apparently like her friend was back down here and saw Josh somewhere and introduced herself and said that it was my sister's friend from Omaha. And he was like, oh, well, that's awesome. He has not said anything to me about it. Like, he just does not like have that thought process.
That's funny.
I can't. It's crazy. But so Josh has gotten a lot of things off his plate. I know that the last time that we had talked, he was going to go down to part-time. So he is now at part-time. So he's only working 2 days a week at the PD and then does carpets the other days. So that's super exciting. So I'm just waiting for that to all catch up in his brain so he can mentally be less stressed.
Yes.
I have a question.
I think that's the thing, eventually. Yeah.
And maybe you guys can answer it, and maybe the listeners can answer on the Facebook page or something. So Dave really struggles with not being able to work anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I had shared, he's 100% permanent in total. But he still has such a drive to work. And of course, you know, he busies himself as much as he can around the house between taking breaks to rest and things like that. And he's a great help with the house chores and things like that. But he just gets so down on himself, and he considers himself a leech on society because he's getting VA benefits, that he's getting Social Security benefits, that he's just this leech and he has no purpose. Like, what do people do to help their spouse in that instance? Because he absolutely has a purpose, because he'll tell you a million times that I saved his life. But considering what I came from, he saved mine and my girls.
I think it's incredibly, like what you just said, is most of the veterans are struggling with a purpose after the military. And then I just think it's really, really hard. I know I'm constantly with Randy, like he has a purpose. We've got to find that. And he just kind of literally threw himself into helping other veterans. And I think that's helped.
That's a great idea. And here's a great stopping point because we're about to get cut off.
I know.
So, and we can have a part two.
Yeah.
Anytime. So if you guys have any answers to that, I will pose that question on our Facebook page. And also Evie's starting to get irritated about everybody is going to Facebook and giving me all their messages and comments, and she's getting sad about no emails. So if you guys want to email us again,
please email us at marriedtoptsd@yahoo.com.
Also, Megan, you need to know that Evie does not have a Facebook account,
which is very normal.
I know.
What kind of rock do you live under?
That's social media.
Insane.
What?
I know.
I had a viral TikTok this week.
Oh,
she did. I'll have to send that to you.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, it was great talking to you, Megan. I'm so excited.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Maybe next week we'll have a part two, guys.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.